Remember the starting times next Sunday. By the way, I'm going to call it Incarnation Sunday, if you don't mind. There's something about Christmas that reminds, sounds like Christ Mass. It sounds like something else. So I'm going to call it Incarnation. That means when the Lord God of Heaven became man. So if you think that's a quirk, I hope you'll forgive me for that quirk. But I do it in glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep our thoughts out of the world. Incarnation Sunday. And then the following Friday, you might call that Incarnation Day, even though we don't know the day that the Lord was born. We might call that as good as any other day. And have a happy holiday, I trust. We're glad once again to hear from Dr. Spilodian. He is, when we call him doctor, he has 3 earned doctorates, if I read the material right. There's loads and loads of fellows all over this country that preach the gospel of people called doctor. And most of them have what is called an honorary doctorate. Some of those honorary doctorates, the man is probably worth getting an honorary doctorate. He probably really, truly is. And lots of them we would question. The way you get an honorary doctorate is that somebody recognizes that you have made great accomplishments in your life and a school will award you an honorary doctorate. An earned doctorate means that you went to school and did all of the prescribed material in an acceptable fashion in the various courses of study, and then they award you a doctorate. It is quite an honor. This man has 3. He knows many different languages. So as he said this morning, when talking about speaking in tongues, this man really truly can speak in tongues. He really truly can, according to the Bible definition of speaking in tongues, he can do it. He can speak in numbers of foreign languages. Now, he does not have the gift of speaking in tongues. He didn't get it one day just like that. It was a lot of hard labor, I am sure, for him to be able to do that. But it is, I'm sure that we all respect him greatly for being able to do that. Now, he has brought with him a table is in the back room there off to my left. And if you would like to look at many different Bibles in many different languages and other things of interest, you could certainly look at those. He told me he wanted everybody to see how easy foreign languages are. I'm not convinced. And I'm sure if you tried to look at them that you wouldn't be convinced either. But it's really been a privilege to have Dr. Spilodian with us today. And we've learned a great deal. And I'm sure that in the future we can pray much for his ministry and for what's on his heart. Now, tonight, the offering that comes in the offering box, which is right back by the door there, whatever comes in tonight will be a love offering for Dr. Spilodian, and I trust that as he has blessed our hearts today, that our offering to him might be a blessing to him as he goes on his way and to other places. Tonight, he's going to give his testimony and what God has led him to do and what God has laid on his heart, and we trust that will be a blessing to our hearts tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Anderson. Again, I am thankful to God for this privilege to be with you and just looking at you and remembering Buenos Aires, capital of Argentina. After a few years, we went there back and just seeing many young people, you know, and seeing, being your services, mornings especially, and seeing that after service, you still are fellowshipping one with another. And it shows me character like Slavic people. You know, in many churches, people are looking their watch. And it means for preachers to be through with his message. But we as Slavic preachers, we try to encourage you know, to stay longer in this service. Usually, we would tell to people that they look in the watches that when borscht, you know, we have special food, Slavic people, we call borscht. And we would say that when borscht stay longer, it tastes better. So we encourage them to stay longer in the church. Now, traveling here, being in your homes, I am thankful to God for this country. I am thankful to God for hospitality that we have in your homes. Rich tables. Yesterday we went to eat pizza. Mamma mia. Living about 14 years in my country, I never had pizza. Speaking about sweet things as children that we like to have, we did not hear. Many times I was hungry, and I came many times to my parents and I said, I want to eat bread, I'm hungry. And they told me, there is no bread. And I understood that there was no bread. Many times I wanted to have tea, and sugar was very expensive. Being 13 years old, almost 14, I went to work for big landowners, stanciers we called them, and I had to work 2 days and a half to buy 1 kilogram of sugar, 2 pounds of sugar. So we did not get much sweet stuff. And ice cream, if I had 4 times, maybe 5 times, living 14 years in Ukraine, just little to try how it tastes, it was all. People were hungry. Even sometimes soldiers, they look to get some home to get food. And I will bring just one example. When one soldier, he got to one home, and there was just old lady. And they will call old lady babushka, what means grandma. They do not have to be relatives. This is custom among Slavic people. They would call old lady babushka. Old man, they would call dedushka, what means grandpa. And he got in good time because she baked a bread and she baked a pie that was unusual to have those both things. And she asked when he said, babushka, do you have something to eat? And then she asked him and she said, what would you like to eat, soldier, a bread or a pie? And he saw that he had preference. Then he said, there is no difference, babushka. What is bread? The same is the pie. But would you please give me a pie? When she took that pie, it was quite good size. Then she asked, what I will do, soldier? Will I cut you a piece? He said, yes, babushka, you can cut it. But would you please give me both pieces? Well, this is when people are hungry. In my childhood, all winter I did not have bread, only potatoes and skim milk and borscht that I already mentioned. It is sour food. In childhood you hate it. I hated it. I like it now. I love it now. Our children, they hate when they were small, but now they love it. They like it. And being here, traveling, seeing this abundance, the freedom that we have, let us use this. And let us rush with the gospel to those that they do not know yet Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not only of Ukraine, but as well in other countries, the people, they do not have what we have. And I would like to tell you about the work, as well about the testimony, my testimony, how God I got saved, little about the country. But first of all, I would like to read with you, it will be Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, starting with verse 18. We are reading such words. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for this privilege to be in this local church. I thank Thee for the pastors. I thank Thee for Thy people, for their missionary vision, for the work that they are giving testimony, reaching people in this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our fellowship. Help us that we may see those people as well, that they did not accept yet Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and help us to reach them, that they may accept Jesus Christ, that Thy name may be glorified, and Thy will may be done in our life. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. When we are studying this portion of the Scripture, we are seeing that this is a great commission that Jesus Christ gave to His disciples. And He told to them that their responsibility is to go, to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach them that they will be able as well, when they accept Christ, to reach others. Especially, I am thankful to God for those missionaries that they are obedient to Great Commission. When they got saved, when they prepared themselves for the ministry, and they realized the great need that people without Christ are going to hell, and they heard that voice that Jesus Christ said, Go! And they went. Especially being born in Ukraine, we had in Ukraine Roman Catholic Church. We had Greek Catholic Church. We had Eastern Orthodox Church. But going to those churches, I never heard preaching the gospel. I never heard that I must repent, that I personally must accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, my parents, they were religious. Ukrainian, Russian people, they were very religious. If you will get to Ukrainian home in Europe, and you will see many icons of different saints in their walls. Not only icons, but statues. One time my father was working very hard, all winter, and he earned some money. And he told to mother, you know what I will do with that money? And my mother asked, what? He said, I will be going to city. We were living in the village. Farmers in Ukraine, in that time, they were living in the villages. And he said, I will buy for that money statue of Virgin Mary. And maybe when I will be praying, I will get some kind of assurance of my salvation. And so he did. He went to city. He bought that statue. He brought home. It was expensive one. Big one. Tall one. Neighbors, when they saw it, they came and they looked. They asked the price. They just went to priest, to the church, and they told to priest about that statue. And priest came and asked my parents if they would give as a gift to the church that statue, because it was big one, expensive. And my father said, no, I will not give as a gift. I bought for myself. And I will build a special place. I will put it, I will worship it, and maybe I will get some kind of assurance of my salvation. And so he was busy to build that place. He put that statue on window. We had big, tall window in our home in Europe. And in front of that window, there was a tree. And birds were flying and came to that tree. Jumping from branch to branch, they came closer to the window. And cat inside was watching those birds. When they came closer to the window, then cat just jumped to that window, pushed that statue fell and was broken. My father became disappointed. And he said to mother, how that statue could save me if that statue could not save itself? Then he became disappointed with the religion. And he said, maybe religion is nothing more but just the lie. Maybe priests, they invented people religion to keep people in the blindness. So he did not go any more to any church. Life was very hard that time in Ukraine, poverty. We did not have enough land, being as farmers. My father decided that he will go to South America, to Argentina, with the purpose that he will earn some money and will come back to Ukraine and will buy more land. When he came, it was 1930, to Argentina, and there was depression. He could not find a job. He was going from city to city and no job. One time he got with some friends that they were white Russians, some were Bohemian, Czech, some were Polish, and he started to debate, especially with Polish people, with Polish friends. And he said, you Polish friends, you came to our country, to Ukraine, and somehow you do not know how to govern. There is poverty. I had to leave my country. I came here, and here is depression. I do not have job. I am suffering here, and my family is suffering there. And where they were debating, one young man was passing by. He was a seminary student. In time of vacation, he was selling Bibles to get some money for school. And when he looked on those men, and he heard the voice when they were talking, but he could not follow their languages. And then he asked, what is going on here? Why you talk so loud? And one of many said, well, you see, we have different nationalities here. Some Ukrainians, some Polish, some Czechs, Slovak. And they have their problems. They are debating those problems. And he asked, what nationality is that one that is talking so loud? And this was my father. And they told, he's Ukrainian. He looked in his briefcase and he had in Ukrainian language New Testament. He came to my father and asked him, you are Ukrainian? And my father just proudly answered, yes, I am Ukrainian. And he asked, would you like to buy in Ukrainian language New Testament? And my father thought, why I need it? There in Ukraine, those priests were blinding people with the religion. But here, no priest, because he does not have those vestments. But somebody else is coming with the religion, and I do not want it. But then he thought, if I will reject to buy that book, then my Polish friends, they will laugh of me, that I rejected to buy in my own language, my own literature. Then he made a plan not to buy it, but not to reject it. And he asked how much it cost. And that man, he said, 1 peso would be $1. And my father thought that there is not such business as lose half of price. If I will give him 50 cents, he will not sell to me. I will not buy it, but I will not reject it. It was a plan. And my father, he said, you see, his depression. I do not have job. If you will accept 50 cents, I will buy it. But even one cent, no more, he said. And that man looked at my father, he said, you can have it for 50 cents. And there was no way just to buy it. When my father bought it, he thought that he will not throw away because he paid money. But when he bought, all those Polish friends, those Czech, white Russian, they approached my father, and that young man already went his way. He could not speak their language very much, just, getting across somehow that what they already learned. And those Polish and Czech and others, they said, do not read it. And my father asked, why I not help to read it? They said, be careful. Do not read that book. Then my father was more concerned. And he asked, will you please give me a reason? Did you see that I paid 50 cents? Why I not help to read it? And then they came with an explanation. And they said, you know, that we heard that many people that started to read that book, something became wrong in their heads. Be careful, do not read it. So my father was afraid to read it. But he did not throw it away because he paid 50 cents. He put in his suitcase. And life was passing by. After 2 months, he spent all pesos, all money that he had. No job. No money to buy food. 3 days he was not eating and he was ashamed to beg. And somehow he looked in his suitcase and he looked, there is a New Testament that I bought. And he told to himself, I will start to read this book. But I will be keeping control of my head. If something will be coming wrong, it will not come such quick way, but maybe I will have some feeling first. If I will feel that something coming wrong, then I start to read it. And he started to read Gospel of Matthew. He read about 4 chapters. Then, to be sure that his head still right, then he stopped to read. And then to try his head, he turned one side, other side, like this. And he said, I still feel perfectly right. I may continue to read it more. And so he was reading about 4 chapters again. Then he stopped again. He tried his hand, again, one side, another side. And he said, I still feel perfectly right, so I may continue to read it more. And so he was reading and stopping, keeping control of his head, until that place that he came when he saw that Jesus Christ was betrayed. He saw that religious people were condemning Jesus Christ. And he saw that Jesus Christ is Savior. He saw that Jesus Christ was dying for sinners. And he forgot to keep control more for his head. He started to cry. He found in that time and asked that Jesus Christ will forgive his sin. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. So I am thankful to God for those missionaries that they are obedient to the Great Commission when Jesus Christ said, go! And they went. I am thankful to God for that young man, that seminary student, that my father, he bought that New Testament and he got saved. I am thankful to God for missionary that he came to South America. I already mentioned that my father, he went in 1930. To Argentina. My mother and the youngest one, my brother and 2 sisters, they went in 1936. I was the oldest. I was 12 years old. And that we've sold a house, a farm, and my dad, the more money that he had, my father, he sent. And this was just only for 3 tickets to pay for my mother, my sister, one that had to pay full ticket, and my brother, youngest that I, and youngest sister, they went 2 on 1 ticket, just each one half ticket. And for me, it was no money to buy ticket. So they left me there in Ukraine, and they told me, we will try as soon as possible to earn money. And we will send you money and you will come. It took them 2 years to earn money. And When they earned money they sent me in 1938, I came to Argentina. So I found that my father was Christian. He took me to Baptist church. We had devotional time in our home. But you know, I would tell you young people especially, that you are blessed in these countries, in this country. If you want to study, you have schools, you have colleges, you have universities. It is not so much opportunity in other countries. Even high school, if you want to get, in small towns, we do not have high school. You have to go to a bigger city. And about the universities, colleges, you have to go maybe just to capital, a city of the provinces. And I planned to be businessman. And I graduated as accountant from business school. So I went to a big city in Argentina to study. And students that were studying, I was not saying that time, they, instead to go to church, they took my different direction. They took me to the shows. We went to dances. We went to different worldly places. And one time I heard that one missionary came from United States. He was in Chicago born. His parents came from White Russia. They were persecuted there. And he was born in Chicago when, after his graduation from Bible school, he came to Argentina with the purpose that he will learn language there, Spanish language. He did not speak when he came. But when he came to Argentina, he found that industrial cities, that there were in those cities thousands of Slavic people. And his parents, they taught him Russian. He started to preach in Russian language. My own friends, they went to those meetings. They got saved. And they came to me, they said, Peter, one young man came from United States, he is missionary. He's preaching the gospel. We went to those meetings and we got saved. And they told me, come with us. But I told to them, young people, we do not have to be concerned about religion. I know what you're talking about. My parents are Christian. I do not have any interest. I think that religion, it is only for old people, not for young. We have to be concerned about our social situation. And they said to me, Peter, you don't know what it means to be saved. And I did not go to church. After 2 months, I was going to dance with one friend of mine. We were going on bicycles. We did not have cars as here, young people. And some of my own friends that already got saved, they stopped us. And they told me, Peter, that missionary is still with us. Would you please come and listen to him? I said, I do not have any interest to go and to listen to him. And my friend that was going with me, he said, Peter, I would like to go and to listen to the man. Then I said to him, let us go. I will listen. If I will not like, I will go to dance and you stay yourself in the church. When we came there to that church, that young missionary was teaching young people how to sing because they had different backgrounds. Some were saved from Roman Catholic homes, some from Greek Catholic homes, some from Eastern Orthodox homes. And he was teaching how we are singing as in Baptist churches. He came to me and he greeted me in Russian language. I already could speak that time, already took Russian language in school. And he asked me such question, would you please tell me what voice you can sing? And I just looked at him, smiling, sarcastically answered to him, and I said, I will sing you whatever voice would you like. And he smiled at me and he said, you will sing in fourth, in bass. If you can help us, we have a need. I said, I will try. I was not singing, but I was looking at my own friends already that they accepted Jesus Christ. And I remember that there was time that they were going with me to dances. They were going with me to shows. We were drinking, smoking, singing those worldly, dirty songs. And now I could hear them, that they were singing to the glory of God. And I came to myself, I thought, maybe you got something what I can't understand. When time came to start the service, that young man was preaching the word of God when Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever will follow me, he will not walk in the darkness, but he will have light of life. And I just looked at him. He was just a young man. And I thought, you left your country. You left your abundance, everything. You came here to preach the gospel. And when I was listening to the message, I could see that he was believing what he was preaching. And then I came to myself, I thought, maybe you got something what I can understand. When he gave invitation, I saw that many adult people came forward. Young people came forward. But I thought to myself, I never will do that. I never will do that. Then I went to a place where I was living with my younger brother and studying. And by the way, he's pastor. He was pastoring church in Argentina that we established. He pastored 20 years, that church. Then he came to this country to visit us at the church in Chicago that we established, Spanish church. He pastored a Slavic church in Argentina, but now he's pastoring Chicago, Spanish church. And I told to him, Nick, I was in church. He said, how you got there? Because he was not going to church. And that time, my father came to visit us far from province. And I told to my father, Father, I was in church, because my father knew that I was not going to church. I usually would say to my father that church is not for me, just for old people. And I saw tears in eyes of my father. And my father said, Peter, I was praying for you. I am praying now that you may be a Christian, and I can see that you will be a Christian. But I said to my father, Father, you never will see me be a Christian. I just have interest to go once more and to listen to that young man, that missionary, how he can believe what he is preaching. And my father said, oh, I want to go and to listen to that man. So we went to that church, and that missionary was preaching that evening the word of God. When Jesus Christ said, my peace leave unto you, my peace give unto you, not as this world give, but I give. And I came to myself that I'm a young man. I'm looking for some kind of peace in my life. But I'm looking wrong direction. I'm looking this world. But here Jesus Christ is giving the peace. And I just, when he gave invitation, I forgot those words that I told to my father, Father, you never will see me a Christian. I came forward, accepted Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. I am thankful to God for that missionary, that he was obedient to the Great Commission. And he came to South America, and he was preaching, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now God not only saved me, but God called me to the ministry. As I already told you, that I was preparing myself to be a businessman, but I never practiced business. I went to Bible Institute after being saved. After graduating from Bible Institute, I was traveling in Argentina from province to province and preaching the gospel in different languages, reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only myself, but later with my wife. Later with our two children, not only in Argentina, but in Paraguay, Uruguay, southern part of Brazil. Many times traveling, holding evangelistic campaigns, we were passing through towns, cities, and we found that there was no church. We found that there was no Christian people. No missionary was working there. And I said, let us establish our home in this town. And while we will be not traveling, being home, we will knock on the doors. And we will start Bible study with the people. And God helped us that we went to those homes. People got saved. I baptized them. And we could organize churches. holding campaigns as evangelists, in the same time working as missionaries. And I am thankful to God for that privilege, for those people there in South America and those churches. Many times traveling, I met many American missionaries. And they told me about this country, about opportunities, about Bible colleges, seminaries. And I said to them, oh, I want to go to America. I want to study. And many of them, when they came to this country, they left our address in different schools. But especially one day I got one letter from the school that was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And dean of seminary, he said, one missionary told us about you. And we want to help you, that you will come to this country to study. And I told to my wife, this is answer to our prayer. We are going to the United States to study. And as I already told you, it was not easy. We came as students, not knowing English language. Even few words we learned. We learned a wrong way to pronounce those words. And look in my schedule, my program, Hebrew, Greek. It was not easy, but God was good. We came as students. But in the first place, I realized that we are missionaries. I look in Minneapolis in telephone book. Right there, I recognize Slavic people's name. Russian names, Ivano, Stefano, Prochanov. We found those names. Polish, Kaminsky, Mostitsky, Ginsitsky. We found those names. Ukrainians' name, Tostenko, Pohodenko, Tsyanenko. We found those. White Russian name, Prokopchuk, Semenchuk, Komaschuk. We found those names. We went to those people. We started Bible study. People got saved. I baptized them. And we organized Slavic Baptist Church. Slavic, because I preached not in one language, but three or four languages, in Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, Czech. Other area, mostly Ukrainian people were living. We established Ukrainian Baptist Church. While almost through with our study, we thought where we will be going. Dear brethren and sisters, our desire would be to go to Russia. Our desire would be to go to Ukraine. There would be not need to me to look in the telephone book. I will be going from door to door to reach those people for the Lord Jesus Christ. But door is closed. We cannot go as missionaries. Then we thought that we will be going back to South America because there is great need. Then traveling in this country, United States, we found that United States is a great and needy mission field. We found that Slavic people, Spanish people, especially different immigrants that they came to this country, that they are not thousands, but they are millions. In Minneapolis Tribune, they gave number. And they said over 33 million white Americans still classify as foreign stock. And I thought, how many Slavic people among those 33 million? And I found out about 8 million Slavic people. Then I thought, what about those that they were born here? Second and even third generation. And they do speak languages. And they belong to Roman Catholic or Greek Catholic or Eastern Orthodox churches with of the languages. Then I thought, what about those that they parents immigrated to Germany, to Australia, to South America, to England, to different countries, and their children were born and they came with their children to United States. And those children are not classified as Slavic, but according to the country where they were born. Even our own home, we are 5 persons. Only I am classified as Slavic because I was born in Ukraine. My wife, she was born in Brazil. She is classified Brazilian. Our daughter and our son, Sam, and they were born in Argentina. They are classified as Argentine, you see. And our youngest one, our Deborah, She was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We call her a real American. So five persons only I am classified as Slavic. So this gives us a great number, bigger number of those people. And then I was traveling these cities, especially coming to industrial cities we found. Not in the cities only, but counting in the states, us, Pennsylvania, about 2 million Slavic people. New York, about 2 million Slavic people. Michigan, the same. Illinois. You know that Chicago is the second city in the world with Polish population. First city is Warsaw, capital of Poland. For second city, you do not look in Poland, you will not find it. It is in United States, it is Chicago, 1 million Polish people. And then, about other nationalities, we have great mission field in all industrial cities. That's why when we started to work, we found that we ourselves not enough. We were praying that God may help us to organize a mission. And what God helped us, we have now this opportunity to present Baptist International Evangelistic Ministries. And our concern to have missionaries to those ethnic groups. They came to this country. Some came because poverty in their country. Some were looking for freedom. And I have a part of a letter of one Polish man that he wanted to come to this country, and he wrote like this: I want to go to America, but I have no means at all because I am poor and have nothing but the 10 fingers of my hands, a wife and 9 children. I have no work at all, although I am strong and healthy, and only 45 years old. I cannot earn for my family. I have been already in Sosnova, Dobrova, Zabierce, and Lodz, wherever I could go, and nowhere could I earn well. And here they, the children, call for food and clothing, and more or less education. I wish to work, not easily only, but even hard. But what I can do is the question. And then he said, I will go not to steal. And letter is not finished. So those people, they came here. And when we came to Chicago, I started to preach in open air. We went to authority. We got permit. And we went to Humboldt Park. Our children, some friends, they came with musical instruments. They started to play, and right away we were surrounded 300 people. Some Sundays 500, 600 people. And I looked, that there were many Russian. I opened the Bible and I preached in the Russian language. Then I looked that so many of those Polish people. And I opened the Bible in Polish language. I preached to them in Polish language. Then I looked that so many Ukrainians, my own nationality. It would be not right for me to leave them without message. I opened the Bible in Ukrainian language, and I preached to them Ukrainian language. Then I looked at the song by their faces. You recognize that I came from South America, Central America, Spanish people. I opened the Bible, and I preached to them in Spanish language. And I looked at some people who walked around, and they would not follow those languages. And you know, they were Americans. And I opened the Bible, and I preached to them in my perfect English. We got many addresses. In winter time, we went to those people. We started Bible study. People got saved. I baptized them. We established Slavic church in Chicago. One with only preaching, 2 Spanish men came to our service. And I thought maybe they followed the language. But after service, I greeted them, and they said, no comprendo. And they said, we are Catholics. And the first time we came, we wanted to see how you Baptists conduct your services. And then, talking with them, I told them about some Spanish churches. And they said to me, you know Spanish language. Why you not start to work with Spanish people? And this was to me, as Apostle Paul, he said about his vision that he had, that Macedonian one came, appeared to him and said, come, help us. And I said to my wife, let us make survey. How many churches, Spanish churches, we have in Chicago? We found quite good number. But some belong to Southern Baptist, some to American Baptist, some to General Conference. No one sound fundamental gospel preaching church. And I said, God, help us to establish one. We start to call upon those people. God help us to organize church in North Chicago. Then we went to South Chicago, another church. And then coming back to North Chicago, third church. And now we have other groups, Bible study eventually. Those will be churches. But we found that we are enough. We need more missionaries. And young people, I would tell you that language is not hard. Maybe one day I will traveling back. And some of you would say, yes, I will get that language and I will be missionary. Not only Slavic people, not only Spanish people, but you know that we have Greek people. Not far from us, thousands of Greek people. No missionaries working with them. Not far from us, there are Italian people. No missionaries working among them. Not far from other side, they call German town. All speaking the Deutsch. No missionaries working among them. And many times we are considered that China is closed. We cannot send missionary to China. And many times we are so concerned, and maybe it's too glamorous to other country. But somehow we neglected those millions of people that came to this country. And they came as religious people. They brought their priests. They built their churches. But religion does not save. Salvation is in the person. And we need to go to them. If we count economically that even cheaper, feel move it to us. And just our responsibility, as Jesus Christ said, go. We have to go to them and to reach them. And he said, baptizing them, when we as missionary reach them, then we baptize them. And then we organize those local churches. Not only in this country that we are concerned about the need. Not only people that we would count as ethnic groups there is need. But I would tell you, if some of you would say, I can't learn language, I have news for you. You know that big cities are Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and others. Very soon will be without gospel preaching churches. Somehow fundamental churches are moving from the cities, selling their properties. And many times I call those churches that they buy those properties, they are just as clubs, social. Nothing of preaching the gospel. And in those industrial cities we have millions of people. We need you young people. Even with English language, that you will come to the industrial big city and we will reach those millions of people even in English language. Many times I passed through some towns, small towns, even here. I'm thankful to God for you, for the churches that you established. But many times when I'm passing through some towns, I ask, how many churches you have here? They say 15, 20, 25 churches. I ask, how many sound fundamental gospel preaching churches? And many times they said, no one. If there is no one, United States is a great and mission, needy mission filled with English language. Let us have missionaries and to send to those towns, to those cities, to establish one. Our concern not only with United States, But our ministry is worldwide. We were working in South America. We went there back. And when we were in Buenos Aires, 9 million people, and 5 good-sized churches. Soon that they got saved, some people in provinces, different provinces, Argentina, when I was preaching, traveling. And now they came to Buenos Aires, they got their education, their work, job. And they went through secular education, and they said to me, Peter, you went to United States, you got your education, would you please come at least for short term, help us to establish Bible school. We will learn the Bible, missions, theology, and we will be reaching here our own people. We are concerned about that. And we ask, pray for us. Our ministry is worldwide. And now, not only South America and all the countries, free world, but I would tell you about my own country where I was born. I already told you that we cannot go personally. But we have one wide open door. And this is radio ministry. And somehow, for years, I see that Slavic-speaking people are excluded by fundamental Baptists from the Great Commission. Somehow, we do not have the ministry to reach those people. And I said, God help us. That's why we organize Baptist International Evangelistic Ministries. And we want to buy time in radio station. We will buy time in Monaco and radio station. And another radio station in South Korea that would be reaching from Siberia. We will be able to reach 345 million people. I asked if in Russia, Ukraine, they have radios. And the preachers that they came, they said that almost every home there, they have short-wave radios. Then I asked how they can help. They say that people very anxious to get short-wave radio. Even Christians, because they want to listen gospel preaching. But they said that the politician, communist, people in general, they do not trust people, their own news media. They want to listen from other countries. That's why they have shortwave radios. And one preacher that came from Kyiv, capital of Ukraine, and he told me, this will be great. This will be great if you will get radio ministry, because the areas where we cannot reach, because we have to have eternal passport. And when we have passport, we have to go to local authority. If we want to go to other town, to other city, to get permit to go there. But you will not need permit, you will reach those people. And I asked, do they listen? And he said, yes, they listen. Then he said, not only to reach those that are not yet saved. But he said, many of our pastors are in concentration camps. And families are suffering. And he said, we need your encouragement to us. Oh, yes. Many times we take for granted, you know, what we have. Freedom. But there Christians are paying high price. And you know that there is hunger for the word of God. There is hunger that one of friend of mine, when he went there, and he took few Bibles, and he left those Bibles, and he did not have more. Then one man asked, he said, do you have more Bibles? He said, no, I don't have. He said, maybe you have at least crumb. And he said, what means a crumb? And he said, maybe you have Gospel of Matthew. This means, he said, or Gospel of John. And he said, I do not have. I already left here. Then when that was just asking and listening their conversation, He screamed in loud voice and he said, Духовного хлеба, spiritual bread. Oh yes, people are hungry. And you know that now, not long ago, I got one magazine that they say that it is true, even now in Russia, that they pay $400 for a Bible in black market, if they find it. And one friend of mine, he said he found that people were cutting Bibles, you know, verse by verse. And I know what it means, because when I came to this country, I practiced my English, you know, my spelling, I was copying. It's quite work to do that. And I spoke with that preacher that came from Kiev. I took him to American pastors. And he looked in their study. And he looked at those many books, commentaries, theological books. And he said, oh, we are lucky when we have Bible. And you have so many books. Then he directed his voice to me and he said, some of you got education. Why you not write those books or translate them and somehow send them to us? And we found a way that we can send. No time right now to describe all, but there is quite a good number. One church that was German-speaking church from Siberia, somehow they got to Germany. And we have correspondence. They said, just send to us Bibles and some of those books, we have a way how to send them. And we are praying to supply those need that they have there. And so we need your prayer. We need your support. There is a great hunger. Jesus Christ, he said to all nations. And I told you about the need in this country, United States. I told you about the other countries in free world. I told you about Russia.